You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
Coming to you from Stand Up New York Labs. Guys We Fucked. We fucked. The anti-slut-shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut-shaming podcast. It's a fun one.
It's summer, baby. Those titties are flying free.
Oh, God.
When I say those, I mean mine.
Well, I mean...
I'm not wearing a bra.
Nice,
it's very,
good.
It's very uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable? Wait, like because mentally?
Yes, because when my nipples are hard...
it's so hot when you're wearing black.
I know, but in my office is really cold, so I go outside and my nipples are really hard and I'm just like, oh no, I don't want anybody to see my nipples. You don't deserve to see my nipples. It just makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel like stared at and I don't like it.
I mean,
I like the feeling of
people are
no
staring
bra.
At people are staring at you, no matter what I think.
We're
all staring at each other.
Under boob sweat.
Ugh.
Can we talk about that, ladies? What the fuck? And some men.
Well,
some men have under boob sweat.
Under boob sweat, and also then you just get like the zits all down your chest, which is repulsive.
That. I know, I hate it.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm just really tired.
Are you on a what's going on? I was gonna say, are you on a cleanse?
No.
Okay, I just said that because I want to let everyone know that I'm on a cleanse.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm
eating
healthy.
I don't sound energetic.
But I'm not on a... I can't do a cleanse in this heat.
Holy shit, Foxwoods.
Yeah.
We went there.
Guys.
Thanks for coming out, everybody.
The hordes of fans, thank you for coming out. No, it was like they were packed shows. Whether or not people were there to see us, I do not know. But it was fun.
That bus ride was something fucking else.
I don't know if you guys follow Christina and I on Twitter, but
or Instagram. We took a lot of pictures.
You need to because there was homeless youths on our bus.
Yeah, you know those like dreadlock, pit bull, poor, dirty people. Like
yeah.
Those kids that hang out in Union Square.
We have nothing against homeless people, but I do have
They were
against,
drunk and obnoxious.
Yeah. And that's not okay for anybody, homeless or not.
And they each had a dog with them and they put a service vest on the dog and they announced on the bus, it's okay, I have seizures. It's a service dog. I'm like, do you have seizures because you get really wasted and your dog needs to recover you? I don't know what the fuck service this poor dog is giving you, but
right.
It's certainly not medical.
And I was like, by golly, this is the greatest love story of all time. One homeless, young homeless person found another homeless person who both suffer from seizures and have
the
service dog?
The same breed service
dog. This is amazing. A love like that does exist. I'd never knew.
And then... what happened next? The guy threw up all over his dog. Threw up on his dog. I thought it was water. I thought it was like a bowl of water on the floor that he gave his dog. Fucking threw up on his fucking dog.
It was that
dog.
Pure alcohol vomit, everybody.
Yeah, clear vomit.
I explained it in depth to my best friend, Paul, and she was like, stop! Stop describing the vomit! I was like, sorry.
Is that a Paul talk?
Not
stop
at all.
Describing
not at
the
all.
Vomit!
She doesn't have a New Jersey accent at all.
Don't describe that fucking vomit to me again. I swear
she's
to God.
Not. She doesn't sound like me at all.
So, yeah, the dog got vomited on, but I thought it was water. He came up to our seat. He walked down the aisle and came up to our seat, and we're like, oh, you got water on you. And I had my headphones in and this girl across from us was like trying to get my attention and I was like, fuck you, I'm playing with the dog now. And then she was like, no, like that guy threw up all over his dog, like that's
right.
Not why.
Well, and then you got up and the dog leapt to freedom into my
went
lap
on my seat
on your seat. And then Christina, like, you know,
just
like sat on the like the little corner of the thing, because the thing was like, I was like, this dog's been through a lot. You know what? This is not the first time I've touched vomit. Not going to be the last time. Just, you know, for the sake of the dog, right?
Yeah, yeah. The dog was scared.
Because I don't know if our listeners know, this is Corinne, that I was a dog in my past life.
She was.
So
dogs talk to her.
I have a deep connection. I know you guys are laughing at home, but Christina's the only one who believes me, and I really appreciate that because it's true.
No, it's true. I've seen it. I've seen it in action.
Yeah.
Dogs have, like, very odd bonds with you. They're very tight.
Yeah, they always come up to me on the street. It's fun.
Yeah, we got slut-shamed at the casino.
Mm.
And I got a lot of it on tape.
Yeah.
Holy shit, the world's worst people go to casinos.
I can't believe you're just finding that out.
I don't go to casinos. I don't can't afford to lose $5. What am I gonna fucking gamble? I don't want to gamble.
I thought it was just kind of something that people knew.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So yeah, we got groped.
Yeah.
I got real mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't fun. Guys, don't grope.
I mean, we had a good time overall.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really fun. I was just like shocked. I'm like, is this how it's like for people?
It's like a human zoo.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's like a cruise in the middle of the woods filled with the worst people and you can't get out.
Yeah, pretty much.
We did go to a pool. That was really fun.
Going to a pool is always the best.
And only the waitresses were super sexy.
Yeah.
But everyone else was like average.
So
we
felt
belong.
Great. Oh, and big news. I used a tampon.
Oh, she
correctly.
Did. I didn't even know you were going to do it. And you came out and you're like, well, put a tampon in. And I high-fived her.
Somebody, I wish we were making that up, but we're not.
We're
That's
not
exactly
making,
what happened.
There's a few people who commented on SoundCloud saying like, thank God someone
yeah.
else voiced their disgust for tampons. I feel
yeah.
the same way.
Like, listen, guys, I didn't like love it, and I wouldn't wear it as my primary choice of menstrual blood suckage or whatever, or absorbency. So like I put a vampire in my twat, but.
Yeah. I'll be one happy vampire.
But you know, okay, that's a whole nother episode about my obsession with vampires and how I want someone to suck my blood sexually. Anyway,
okay.
Not from my vagina. That's a different kind of blood. That's like a stank blood.
Ew, I hate myself.
All right, let's get to it. You want
to
start or am I starting?
You
happening?
Start because I want you to read two.
Okay, great.
We got some great emails.
Guys, you have been hitting it out of the ballpark.
Sorry about last night's show at gmail.com is where you email us if you want to email us some stuff.
Yeah, and before we forget, we've like put this on social media and stuff. We're on iTunes now, guys.
Oh yeah.
So
we're on iTunes.
If you want to just search Guys We Fucked, it'll come up as Guys We F asterisk asterisk blah blah blah, you know, D, and I'm not happy about that, but you know, we're on there and it's great and wonderful. But you know, if you like SoundCloud, stick with that too, because it's cool. Whatever you want, just you have options now. That's what America's all about. So Carrie wrote to us, hopefully that's okay that I said her name. First off, thanks for putting yourselves out there in order to engage these topics in conversation, blah, blah, blah. About me, no, because I realized you highlighted below this. About me, a 30-year-old working professional in St. Louis. Recently, I've been spending an obscene amount of time with a guy I met about a year ago. We became friends, I did want to read this, instantly and remained close. We just click. More than not, he has been the one I spend the weekend with. Love guys like that. He's the first person I get a text from in the morning and the last person I text at night.
Aww.
Constantly telling me I look good, smell good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Naturally, I'm wanting to take this to the next level and try an intimate relationship, but he never makes a move. We've slept in the same tent together. That was a bad move just because you were camping for two nights and nothing
camping.
Happened. Ugh. Now, I did date a few guys within this time frame. Nothing serious. I'm a fucking scorpion and I have needs, you know? Sure. But he never met any of them, and I never revealed any kind of details. He, on the other hand, dated one girl for 2 weeks, then felt the need to go out of his way and tell me they never had sex. This last weekend, I decided to take matters into my own hands and tell him how I feel, mostly because I just need to know if this relationship has a future on a sexual level. I tell him what a great guy he is, how I cherish him as a friend, all my emotions, yada, yada, yada. He tells me he's flattered but just wants to be friends. What did I do wrong? I'm no supermodel, but I know I'm not a dog either. From a man's perspective, what puts me in the category of, quote, unfuckable? Like in When Harry Met Sally, is there really a point where you can't see that person in a sexual light anymore? Yes, there is, when someone farts in your face, if you remember the Tommy episode. Obviously, he likes spending time with me. Is it a physical thing? Honestly, I need to know how I can prevent this in the future.
He really seemed like he wanted to fuck you.
You know what? Then I'm
except
gonna...
for that time where he said he didn't want to fuck you. But no, sleeping. Tell the last person you text at night. First person you text. He's either.
I have a simple answer for this. He's gay.
That's what I was gonna say.
He's gay.
He's gay.
I read this when I was at work, and literally, I read it. He's gay.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, but he went on a date, dated another girl.
Does
for
not
two,
matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if he married someone.
All
kids.
Gay men dated a girl for 2 weeks. That's why it lasted 2 weeks. Because after they did all the things that gay men like to do with girls. And I know this is real stereotypical, whatever, it's Pride Week. But this is kind of.
Dude, I fell in love with so many gay guys in high school.
Oh, my God.
Because we got along so well. We were best friends.
Who
we compliment each
texting
other.
Texting a gay guy.
We were touchy feely. It was wonderful. I knew at the time they were gay. But, you know, if I didn't, I'd probably fall for them.
And listen, on the outside, chance that he's not gay and we're incorrect on this matter. I don't know what puts you into the category of unfuckable. I mean, obviously, sometimes it is just a looks thing. But if a man is spending this much time with you and he is straight, I've never even heard of a man spending this much time with a woman who he didn't want to fuck.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever happened in the history of time.
But I would make a move.
Yeah, but here, she already talked.
Yeah, but
someone quite clearly told me they didn't want to fuck me, I don't think I would make a move.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to maintain this friendship.
And also, but it's hard to maintain a friendship once you made it clear that I want to fuck you, but you don't want to fuck me.
Sometimes you can go backwards, difficult. But it is difficult. It's difficult. It's awkward.
It's never going to be the same. I've had so many friendships with guys that... like if they wanted to fuck me and I'm like, oh right. I think I like you're really nice, let me try and see if I want to, and it just ends up I'm just not sexually attracted to you, and they're always like, all right, bye. I'm like, so what?
Right,
okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, bye then, fuck you, dude.
But I think there's a really easy solution to this, no matter what his sexual orientation is. Okay, if he's gay, you know, keep being friends, that's cool. And, you know, you won't be the first girl in history or the last to fall for a gay guy. It's happened to the best of us. But, but I mean, if someone doesn't want to fuck you, don't sit around thinking of why he doesn't want to fuck you or trying to look for reasons what is wrong with you.
On to the next.
Nothing's wrong with you. His loss, move on. Don't waste another second of your time thinking about it. You're not going to get any answers. You're just going to drive yourself crazy.
Yes. Easier said than done.
Yeah,
yes.
Of course.
Morgan. Morgan wrote us an email. She says, hey, ladies, my name's Morgan. I really love your podcast and the purpose behind it. It personally helps me handle the slut shame I receive hearing you guys talk so proudly and openly. So thank you. With that said, I have a question for you. Should someone handle shame from a sexual situation the same as they handle shame for sex alone, or should you consider the situation shame? For example, the first time I had sex, it was with someone whose personality repulsed me. Is this Corinne writing? What is this fucking shit?
But I wrote it. I sent you a pseudonym.
But I had sex with him because I felt obligated after he walked me 4 miles home and bought me chocolate milk. Found my missing phone.
That's not my first drink option after a 4 mile walk, I must say.
Milk was a bad idea. I had to. Found my missing phone and backpack. Whoa, what a MacGyver. And kissed my vomit mouth many times. This guy kind of sounds pretty nice. And I was so drunk, I literally puked all over him.
Literally.
I puked on his dick. We had sex outside in the park. I got shamed a lot because of this. Not just the fact that I had sex, but that I puked all over him and that it was in the park and that I hate who I did it with. So I guess what I'm asking here is shaming the specific situation different than shaming the sex? And should you consider it differently? Like accept the shame because puking on someone's dick is not okay. Have you puked on someone's dick?
No, but we've all done shit we're not proud of.
We've all puked or shat or perioded peed on someone. It fucking happens, okay? So you should not, first of all, nothing you did should be, I don't think you should feel ashamed for anything you did. That's fucking, you're young. You don't say how, do you say how old are you? Well, I don't think you do. It doesn't matter. No, people fucking do that.
I mean, I've never puked on someone's dick, but that being said, I have woken up in a pool of upchucked picklebacks that I magically got all in the same pillow.
Wait, you puked in the middle of sleep?
In an emotionally abusive relationship, yeah. Yeah, because I was dating an alcoholic and I was like, and you know me, I have to accept a challenge. So I tried to keep up and I was like, you know what, Corinne, sometimes you don't need to keep up with people, especially when they're alcoholics.
Yeah, you got to do you. Yeah. And not be an alcoholic.
He was an alcoholic. His roommate, who he's now married to, was an alcoholic. I mean, proudest moments.
But also the gesture of having sex with somebody whose personality repulses you. I don't know why the personality repulses you. He seems like a nice person.
I love to fuck the shit out of people who repulse me. Not physically.
Seems like a nice guy if he's willing to do all that stuff for you. Maybe he was doing it to get his D wet, you know?
Yeah. Let's hope he was doing it to get his D
haven't
wet.
Haven't you felt that, Corinne, where you're like, well, you were so nice and you paid for dinner. I guess I'll fuck you.
Absolutely. That's a big reason I don't go on dates with people, because I don't want to feel like I owe them anything.
Yeah. You never owe someone
pussy. You do not. But
or
I
your
know,
dick.
I totally understand how you could feel that way.
Yeah. I understand because it's so
nice. I don't
like
people paying for me. I don't like people doing me things until we're in a relationship.
The most important thing to realize is you do not know. Owe anybody anything. There was never a, well, if I walk you home,
no.
Will you fuck me?
Like absolutely not.
And if he would have said that, you would have said, no, I'd rather walk home alone.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
So you never owe anybody anything. But that being said, I totally get why you're like, well, you know, and I don't, you know, and you fucked him anyway. That's, I've done that. I've done that before. Yeah. And I've done that and I've not regretted it. And I've done that and I have regretted it. But and you know what? Fucking, I did it and whatever.
When you're drunk, everyone becomes a lot more fuckable. That's why
everyone
we
looks
drink.
Great when I'm wasted. And yeah. I want to have sex with a lot more people when
yeah,
I'm
wasted. And your loins just feel free and you're like, let's do this, you know?
I feel like a flower child when I'm drinking.
Yeah, it's so free.
I just want to rub up against everybody.
It's great. Oh, that's how so. I knew it was summer. I really felt it excited because I was like, I wanted, there was like a not even attractive postman taking letters out of a mailbox, and I was like, I wanted to fuck him. Like, I just wanted to fuck everybody.
You just want to fuck people in the summertime?
Oh my God.
I feel so sweaty.
I just
that underboob sweat really gets
get
to me.
Get naked and like,
I want to be naked. You know, because I'm not the kind of person who like wants, I'm never naked in front of other people who aren't my boyfriend or someone I'm fucking.
Oh, I love being
naked. I never, I'm not like that girl in ballet class who just got naked and was like, fuck you guys, blah, blah, blah,
right,
here
right,
I am. Like,
right.
I'm just not. But yeah, I get that. During the summertime, I'm like, God, it'd be nice if clothing was optional.
I know. You'll even be like, I had to go in the other room and change. I'm like, Christine, I've seen your boobs. And I'm like, I don't.
I know. I'm so conservative. I don't know why.
It just doesn't,
it's
like,
weird.
I don't.
I know. You don't give a shit. I just, I don't know. I don't know what my deal is.
No, it's fine. Whatever. It's your body. Do with it what you please. All right. So Brian writes us. He says, hey, girls. And then he tells him about himself. And then he goes this. A little bit about myself. I'm the type of guy Corinne wouldn't like. I'm too nice. Ha ha. As a child, like you, I grew up without religion. We were always told to just be good people and try your best. While growing up, I generally walked to the beat of my own drum. Oh, God, so many teachers said that about me. Thus, I was picked on a lot. The popular taunt was being called gay and a girl. As I got older and naked in the locker room became a thing, I was teased for having a small penis because I was the only one who didn't pull on my dick until I got a quote partial. Okay.
That's pretty gay, guys.
Board of Education. I try to not let it bother me, but it's something that's always in the back of my mind. According to studies, I'm average size. I've never had anyone complain about the size, and I've always been able to satisfy the girl that I'm with. Although, even still, I can't help but wonder, is size really that big of a deal? With porn showing guys with torpedo dicks and girls raving about how big her boyfriend is, it's hard not to be insecure about this. It's not how big it is, it's how you wiggle your worm. Drawing from your experiences, do you think this is true? On a different subject, I love going down on girls. Oh my God, that's the best thing. It honestly gives me more pleasure than getting a blowjob. You're awesome, and I do like you, and we can date. I've heard from friends that lots of guys have no idea what they are doing down there. Absolutely true. I'm wondering if there are any pointers that you could give me and all the men listening to your podcast.
Love that you love going on down on girls.
That there's two things. You don't need a fancy car. You don't need to take people to nice dinners. You need to learn how to give good oral sex and a good back massage. That's all you need, guys.
Oh,
I gave you the fucking key.
Massage.
That's the key.
You know
key
what?
To life.
You know what I hate? You know what I hate?
What do you hate?
When someone goes to give you a back massage and they're like, "Ugh, fine, here." You have to ask for it, and they're
"Oh,
here."
Yeah.
And then 2 seconds, like, "All right, I'm done."
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck was that?
Give me 15 minutes. Put 20. A little lotion on your hands. And
take your time.
Just give me a back massage.
Need my nuts.
The way I suck your dick. I'm not loving being
Thank
down
you.
There.
That's our t-shirt. Give me a back massage the way I suck your dick. All right? Massage for a blowjob. Okay?
Get into it.
And we'll
it.
Spend as much time. Yeah.
Stanislavski that shit. Pretend it's a... Pretend
get an objective in your head.
Pretend you're rubbing down fucking Mina Suvari. I don't know who you like. That's the first person that came to my mind.
They're going to say LL Cool J.
Mila Kunis. It's yeah. someone else. You know, I don't even care. Just give
I don't care if you got to fantasize about another girl while you're rubbing my back.
Oh, I don't care.
Rub my goddamn back.
Oh, my God.
Bitch.
Rub my, oh, gosh.
I hate the short massages.
Yeah, that's worse than no. Just that's
don't
worse
even
than
do
no
it.
Massage.
That's a tease.
Yeah,
that's a blue ball.
Yeah, that
we
is.
We get that's how women get.
That's
blue ball.
That's a female blue ball.
That's
exactly.
Fucking, you fucking twats. That's don't blue ball us.
That is a girl.
I get so I do. I really get mad when that happens.
And you should. It's so an
like,
injustice.
Oh my God, these 2 seconds were so good. Please give me.
I
more.
I think we should be able to take people to court based on that because it's fucking unfair.
Then guys are gonna want to take women to court for blue ball.
Oh, that's true. I'm sure
you know,
someone's tried to do
be
it.
An uproar.
There's always some story about some guy who like goes ape shit because his girl doesn't go down on him.
Which
I've
know,
never heard a girl doing that.
Girl going it. Well, she should. But I get. But here's the thing, though. If a guy hears all the time, like, you know, she doesn't give me blowjobs, and it's kind of a deal breaker. I get that. I get the whole blowjob thing.
I think that's fine. Yeah.
I get why that's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
I really do. Because sexual compatibility is so fucking important. If you're just holding your breath and not really saying what you want to say after sex or during sex, then that ain't going well.
Yeah.
You got to talk it out.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. So we're our guest today is a guy you fucked.
It's a guy I fucked.
His name's Dave.
David.
David, sorry.
Yeah, I think he's a David, not a Dave.
Yeah, I dated a David.
He's a David.
I never call him Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, gross. Interesting. So you met him in an improv class. It was improv 301 or something.
It was definitely not 301. I think it was 401.
Okay. The interesting thing about this story that you were telling me is he's an attractive person, and you had known him for however many weeks you're doing the improv class on that point, but your good friend pointed out at a show that he was attractive, and then this light bulb clicked in your head, and you're like, "Oh, yep, no, he is. I'm gonna go for it."
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
I'm a lemming. This was the start of Hitler's regime right here.
And this is this was the first casual dating that you had, because you basically went through your whole high school no dating, no boyfriend.
This is how Charles Manson got all those women to kill people. No, that's not true. I had boyfriends in high school, and I had.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You said you didn't date, or you didn't care about dating.
I didn't see anyone in my hometown because they're gross. Sorry, Union.
But you didn't have sex in high school.
No, I didn't have sex. Okay. I didn't have sex till college. But I had a boyfriend named Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah. In high school, and he was a serious boyfriend. I really really liked him a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing physical or anything. Well, physical, but
not yeah.
Insertion.
No penis and
did
vagina.
Did you just like hump each other until?
Yeah. And there was fingers and the stuff like that, but.
So then you dated this guy, Tim.
Yeah.
For 5 years.
Yeah.
And then you and him broke up.
Yeah.
Because there was an open relationship aspect to it.
There was a lot of things.
There was a ton of stuff.
We outgrew each other a little bit.
You basically outgrew each other.
Yeah.
And so how long after you broke up with Tim did you meet this guy? Like a 5-year relationship. I've never even been in a 5-year relationship.
I think I met David in 2009, and I had broken up with Tim, I believe, February 2008, I want to say. And that whole year, I mean, I was struggling. I was drinking a lot.
I was gonna say, you sound like fun Corinne over here. Like you.
Oh, my nickname. My roommate Vicky called me Corinne Fisher Party Animal.
Really?
That was my. I would come home at 6 a.m. I was.
How'd you get that energy?
I was. You know me. I always have energy. I was a crazy partier. We would go out once a week during the week, like Tuesday nights. We would go to this bar, Angels and Kings. We would stay out all night.
Oh, I love know that.
Yeah.
Bar.
No, I was. I was a crazy partier.
Was it just because you had like have never really immersed yourself in that lifestyle?
Yeah, I had never. I had gone through all college without ever being a party girl. I always had it in me. I was sad. I was overworked. I missed Tim like crazy. I still miss Tim to this day. He was my best friend. You know.
Yeah.
And we still talk and stuff. But I mean, it's not even close to being the same.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
So this guy. So you went. You decided to go after him. When your friend said he was hot,
right?
Which I think is so interesting because I've done that before too.
Yeah,
where I'm like, even if I'm not even on the fence, if I'm like, that's a person, and then someone goes, that person's hot. I'm like, wait, oh yeah, that person's hot. I'm gonna go make out with him. Bye.
Right. Like, he was hot.
Yeah, yeah. He's like,
and he's funny,
like and he's ripped. He's the only ripped guy you fucked.
Oh god, nice bod. Yeah.
Yeah. Like how jacked? Like
just like a good, not like, oh, not like
Tommy
Jagger. Tommy's a little bigger now, but just great for his size. Just nice. He took off his shirt and I said, oh, okay.
And then that was the only jacked guy you dated.
Well, my last guy was jacked. The older man.
Yeah.
Had a
thinner jacked.
Yeah. Like a Tommy Lee jacked.
Yeah.
God.
Fucking.
I'm just going to miss.
No.
He's bodies.
Fuck that shit. All right, let's. So we're gonna call him.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous. Like, this is the first person
because you went on a few dates with him.
I don't really know him,
and then you just kind of.
He's been really nice though. About I fucking sent him like a press packet. I'm like, do you want to do the show? And he's like, yeah,
you know this podcast.
Oh my god, but yeah. So okay, this is. I was a little nervous about this one.
Have you talked to him on the phone yet?
Oh, I haven't talked to him in like 5 years. We've texted and emailed a little bit. Can we? Is that is that like a good level? The ringing scares me.
Hello?
Hi. May I please speak with David?
Hi,
David. This is Christina. What are you wearing? Just kidding. Hi. How are you? It's Corinne and Christina.
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Good to hear from you.
Good. You too. I haven't talked to you in ever. This is my first time.
Hi, this is Corinne. I was like, this is weird because like I know you, but we don't really know each other.
No, it's been like a long time. It's been like 4 years or so, and we just met like through UCB classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were telling everybody how you guys met, and kind of Corinne was coming out of this 5-year relationship, and you had had this class going on, and she actually showed me this screenshot of a Facebook message where she said, "Hey, I just want to let you know I think you're sexy."
It was so sexy with a lot of O's.
So sexy. And like every other one was capitalized and like the stars.
No, it wasn't.
I forgot about that, but I remember that now. That was crazy. And I was like, so what are you doing tonight? I was like, okay, yeah. You didn't jump on this.
Well, the thing was, I didn't. So the behind the scenes on that Facebook message is that my roommate at the time had come to see our UCB show, and she was like, "Oh my god, that guy in your class is so hot." And like, not that you're not hot, but I didn't know who she was talking about, because there was like, I like all, basically all men who are funny, I want to have sex with.
But she mainly likes fatties. And you're not a fatty.
No, you're not a fatty and at all. And so, and then,
what if he's fat now? Are you fat now?
Are you fat Sorry. Now?
No.
Oh, then she still doesn't like. Okay, go ahead.
No, and then my roommate she convinced me how hot you were, and then I was like, you know what? You are right. He is hot. I need to send him a message regarding
that whole message on Facebook was just like your roommate convincing you that I was hot.
How pissed are you?
But
right
it
now?
Worked, and I think this is an interesting
it did work.
Thing.
Holy crap!
But have you ever had that experience where like you see a girl and you don't think she's really hot, but all your friends think she's hot, and then you're like, you know what? She is hot.
She kind of see her in a different light because everyone else wants her.
I don't know if I have had that specific experience. I think like definitely there is the, if other people think they're attractive and like you're giving attention to that person, that you're like, oh wait, what am I missing? And then you go like investigate it more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess, like, kind of. I've definitely had the experience, like, oh, you see someone, and then you spend more time with them, or, like, they surprise you in some way, and, like, oh, their coolness or something about them makes them more sexually attractive.
Now, with Corinne, when you saw her, did you think she was really attractive, or did you kind of like, yeah, I'm open to getting to know you?
I remember this, because I was thinking about this, I remember being in that class, and there was some like scene or something, for whatever reason. Yeah, Corinne like came across as like a very sexual person, and like I was like, before you had written me that note, I remember like, oh man, I want to sleep with her.
My penis is talking to me. I better listen.
In like a nice way. You know?
Well, I feel like there's some girls who just like look like they want to get fucked.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like have that sex eye.
Listen.
Sex face.
Oh, I have heard this many times before about myself. I drip sexuality. I actually got a note from Zach Woods, who's now on Silicon. Oh. Is he on Silicon Valley?
Yeah, he's on Silicon Valley.
His
he's on the
note
office.
Was like, he's like, you're a good improviser, but you really use sex in a lot of your scene work. And I was like, oh, Zach Woods, you have a good eye.
You're on point. You're on point.
Yeah,
you listen.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So that's, and also I mean, because I had just gotten out of this 5-year relationship, like I was ready to fuck. Like I was like, I wanted to fuck everybody.
Well, so let's go there, David, shall we? Let's go back in time. So
I wish I remembered.
Corinne was telling me, I don't sure. know, let's, yeah, try and remember as much as you can, but in typical Corinne fashion, she arrives at her first date together at a sushi restaurant, and she tells you she's wasted.
Did I tell you? Because I was.
I don't remember if you told me, or not. I think that you alluded to it somewhere halfway in between. Yeah, I think somewhere around there probably was. It was vague on the details. I do remember that you brought up, and this is like a moment that I was like, oh, that's a little weird. I think you, like, brought up what I was wearing as my Halloween costume, like, the year before or 2 years behind. I knew.
Stalker.
I knew at that moment, like, oh, you've been looking at all of my Facebook
pictures. Oh, Corinne Fisher, never a mystery.
Facebook was way newer back then, so, like, I mean, I was, like, a fucking detective.
Oh, shit, I could see his family photos from Christmas?
But all right. I mean, I think if someone you don't really know that well, I mean, I think, as a safety
doing
precaution.
Investigation, but I'm not going to bring my investigations up to the table.
Well, that's my problem. I have no filter, so I just tell everyone everything that I did because I don't understand the feeling of shame. So, and that's not always great, you know? Maybe shame has its place in society.
Did that freak you out, David?
It was, well, I mean, at that point, and I think still, like, kind of everybody a little bit assumes, like, oh, you're probably going to check out somebody on Facebook before you go on a date with them. But you just, like, called it out into the open, like, yeah, I know what you were for Halloween last year. Like,
oh, that's shit, creepy. Okay.
Well,
I know what you were for Halloween last year. So could you tell she was drunk, or was it just like, she's so fun?
I think it was more of a she's so fun. I'm also, awesome. I think I attacked, approached dates differently back then, like kind of being young. I think I was like recently moved to New York too and still like fresh out of college and like had ended my like first and only relationship, like not like within a year or two. So yeah. I think I was pretty naive and like, oh, I'm going to go and like do the old fashioned courting thing. And then aww. Like, we're like very, just like very forward. And when she was like, oh, this is great and interesting, but I kind of don't know what to do with myself.
Like skip the bullshit. Well, she was very skip the bullshit. Because were you expecting to have sex with her that night? Or did you think it was possible?
Yeah, I thought that it was possible, but I think I didn't really know how to. I thought I was like, oh, I'll deal with that when that happens. But I was like kind of apprehensive about it. I think at that point in my life, like still a little bit apprehensive about sex in general.
Oh yeah. Yeah. How do you approach it now? Like when you go on a date, do you kind of do the same courting phase that you did back then?
No, I think it's very different now. Especially like LA dating is also very different. It's, you know, I don't know. And I approach relationships a lot less formally these days.
Like more straight to the sex, or more how
oh, no,
is it
like
different?
Just like less like, oh, let's go out to dinner, and that is how you have a first date, is like you go to dinner. It's more like, oh, I'm going to hang out with friends, and like I'll meet a friend of a friend, or we'll get drunk together, and like things will happen or they won't, and then like we get a little talk or we won't. And
okay, so it's less formal.
Yeah, that I'm a fan. I hate formal dating, and that's why I got drunk, because you were like, oh, let's go to dinner, and I was like, I'm nervous. And I remember asking, I had a very young boss at the time. He was like in his early to mid 30s. And I was just like, I have a date and I don't know what to do. And his advice to me was to get drunk.
Oh, and she heeded that advice.
Oh, man, that's great. That's really good advice. Yeah, because it probably threw you for a loop when I was like, oh, great. You want to meet up? Let's go to a dinner and I will pick the rest. You know, I was like very old fashioned-y sort of mindset.
Well, yeah,
right?
That's the thing. When I sent you the message, and I was just kind of like it was my own version of post secret. Like I just like wanted to tell you were sexy, and then like let it out into the universe.
Whatever happens, happens.
And then when you asked me to go out, I was like told my roommate Vicky. I was like, Vicky, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? I was like, you got me into this fucking mess.
You get me out.
But I wasn't like Matt. I was just I'm not. And even to this day, I still do not like dating. I mean, I'm a comedian. I am a socially awkward person. Like, I don't like it. I think it's really weird and uncomfortable.
It's a very forced
absolutely.
Situation.
I totally agree. And it took me like a long time and many years of horrible like dating, you know, first date shitty experiences to ever realize that. Of like going to a thing where you're sitting across from someone at a table and like asking them this like little almost pre-written interview question bullshit of like, oh, what do your parents do for a living? It's like, it feels so
rehearsed.
Know,
like, yeah, it's kind of a nice moment where you realize, oh, I don't have to fucking do that. I can just fucking let's go on a picnic or let's hang out with my friends or something. Like, it's not,
yeah, or let's do something that I like that maybe you would want to do naturally or normally, or I'd want to do naturally or normally.
Yeah.
We'll just do it together.
Yeah.
And that's like such a more adult and like more appropriate way to go about it, I think.
Oh, what a gent. may I ask how old you are?
What's that?
How old are you?
28.
Okay, you sound like you're like,
wait,
21.
I thought you were younger than me.
Are you also 28?
I am. Well,
I'm 40.
Because I had a feel.
Just kidding.
You know what? I think it was, when's your birthday?
April 18th.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's what it was. Maybe it was just at the time, I guess, you were... when it fell. Yeah, no, because I thought, because I was like, I was going to say you were the only younger person that I ever even like went out with. But you're born in 1986?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it was. So it's like not even a year. Yeah. But for me, that was because I had only dated people like several
much
years older.
Older.
And I was coming off a relationship with someone who was 8 years older than me. So,
gotcha.
The first date went well. You were a little shocked by her forwardness and her knowledge of your Halloween costume.
Which welcome I would, to New York.
I will be too, but you know. Did you have sex that night? Because you went to a bar?
I mean, we got hammered because we went for sushi and then we went to that bar in Murray Hill right by my apartment conveniently because I only like to get drunk by my
was
apartment.
It Jake's Delay.
Oh, then we definitely hooked up then, right?
Well, probably. Yeah, you slept in my bed. I mean, whether or not there was actually insertion, which is a big question on the show at many times. Like, I don't know. But I mean, I woke up. I had a vicious hangover. I remember getting in like my kimono robe that I have, which is like a really cool robe. And just like having to go to work and like it was just I was in bad shape. But I mean, I'm sure you know, I'm sure shit
there was
went
a
down.
Penis in a vagina somewhere. So you don't remember either.
I don't remember the quality.
Don't remember either. I remember. I kind of remember now that you say the kimono thing. Like I remember that. Like oh, she's changing. Oh my god, what's happening? But yeah, I think that was like a slop, like a very drunk night.
Oh
and
yeah,
meet you all. From like the I'm gonna take this girl out on a first date sort of mindset of like I don't know what I'm nervous and I don't know what's going on.
It's I think it's always like almost refreshing to hear like I was nervous and like I'm a pretty like someone who doesn't seem to be nervous, but oh my god, yeah.
So you're both nervous.
I get nervous a lot.
Reasons.
I get nervous a lot. Yeah.
And then you
yeah.
basically kind of like dated for 2 months, right? Like on and off.
I mean, very like
every once in
once
a while.
Every 2 weeks we would go a couple. We went on a couple. Dinner, you know,
now
sporadically. Yeah.
David, do you remember the sex, like any sex with her, or were you both wasted?
I remember. Yeah, I remember having sex. I don't remember a lot of the details. I think we were.
I was gonna say, how was Corinne 4 years ago? Did she choke you?
Oh, I don't know. I think I was choking people.
Oh,
back
she wasn't
then.
Choking. Oh, you should see her
I
now.
Don't think so.
Did she?
Wait, did she what?
Did she attempt to choke you in a sexual manner?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I think I would have remembered that.
Do you remember anything about the sex?
Wait, say it again?
Do you remember anything about the sex?
I remember it being good and fun. And,
yay! Good and fun.
Yeah.
Well, the Yelp review's in, everybody. I've done it again. No, I mean, I was in a really, I was in a bad spot. Like, because I was not someone who drank in college. And then that was in my heavy borderline.
Yeah, Crow was in her partying phase.
I was a real partier. But I think you kind of were, you seem to hang out with your friends and drink a good deal. You seem like, because you were more like social than I was. More like bro-y, but not in a gross way.
I am and was always like a big drinker and like going out and partying and that sort of thing. So I could hold my liquor pretty well.
How are you sexually now? Like, do you date a bunch of chicks at once? Do you have a girlfriend? What's your sitch?
I kind of date around, I've tried to have several girlfriends and like, I never like can keep a girlfriend for very long, even though like I have an idea of like, oh, this will be great to have a girlfriend. And then I'll try it with somebody who's like a good friend of mine. And then I was like, oh, but within a short period of time, I feel for whatever reason, like constrained by it. And then, you know, push that person away or break it off because I don't know. I think that the single life is more for me right now.
Yeah.
But generally, you know, just kind of dating around. But not like dating anymore. Like, oh, hanging out with friends and like something will happen with like a friend of a friend.
Yeah, or, like a hookup with whoever's there. Kind of.
Yeah.
That's cool. What's like the weird, are you kinky in bed? Are you like dirty? I can't get a read on you because you seem so friendly.
He's super white. And I mean that like in a nice, but like you are, I think the white, like
the whitest.
Like I imagine like your family owning a yacht. Like that's my, when I think of you.
Yeah, I'm very, very white. I don't take that at all like as an offense. Like that is a very descriptive word to describe me.
He has a sweater tied around his neck right now.
Yeah. Like,
oh, I like own many sweater vests. And
went
to like a super prep school with like all guy prep school.
Oh, how was
you know,
that?
In the burbs of DC. That was, it was weird, but I don't have anything to compare it to. You
That's
know, like
true.
I don't have like a big high school to compare it to.
So there's no like getting blown in the bathroom for you by a girl anyway, because you went to all
there
guy
was,
school.
No.
Damn it.
There was none of that.
What's like
there's a lot of like weird prep school boy antics, like, oh, we're going to nugget your backpack or like
ooh, sounds hot.
There were occasional like weird, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna put my balls on somebody's desk or something like that.
I'm gonna put my dick in your mouth and you're gonna suck it. Wait, what?
What?
I gotta go.
Oh, now we're gay. Oh no. Yeah.
Whoops.
Weird stuff. I did have a friend that would, he had this game that he played all throughout high school where he would just try to get people to look. He would, like, put his balls somewhere and, like, cover them up with just his hand, and then he'd try to get people to look at his balls, like, while class was going on.
I love those guys.
Occasionally we'd have, like, cross-registration, and girls would be in a class, like, one girl would be in her, like, you know, physics class, and you'd try to get the girl to look at his balls.
And then she
and it
cried.
Was hilarious. And then she cried.
Oh, I don't like balls. I like a stranger's
but
balls.
That's,
who does?
Do you, David?
That's about the level of, like, you know, weird sexual antics that transpired in my high school.
But what about, like, you personally? Like, have you ever done anything, like, super kinky?
Yeah. And I'm, like, definitely interested in the kinky world, but I'm, like, it's somewhat of a, I don't know if I've, like, delved into it that intensely. I think, I've had somewhat kinky sex with some people, and, like, maybe the kinkiest thing that I've done is I've hooked up with a couple older women, like, and they were, like, 43.
Ooh.
And that was, like, an interesting experience.
Yeah. How is sex different with a woman in her 40s versus a woman in her 20s? I'm curious. I feel like they're, like, women in their 40s are, like, fucking got it going on. Like, they're freaks, and they know what they want. Like,
they know what they want. They are completely unabashed, bashful of their sexuality and their bodies. Like, even if they're older, they're just like, yeah, this is sex. Like, we're doing this. Let's push the envelope. Because they've already been, like, having sex and having experience for years. And so there's like, yeah, immediately let's, you know, do this other stuff. There's more, at least in my experience, like, more dirty talk, or like, it's okay if you want to do this thing. And like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Really?
Sure, let's do that. Yeah.
That's awesome. How do you, like, I always wondered how those situations with, specifically with an older woman and a younger guy, like, how they play out, like, how you meet, I feel like she just comes up with this fucking crazy ballsy line to, like, make you go,
Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, I guess that's happening now.
Yeah, I think I have been randomly at a bar or something, like, been hit on by an older woman, but it wasn't, nothing happened with that. One of them, I slept with two, like, older women. One
at
of them
the
was
oh.
a dancer at this, not like a strip club, but like a burlesque show sort of thing.
Ooh.
And we, like, got to talking, and she gave me her number, and we were, like, texting, and, like, oh, we went on a date. And I think it was from the time that she gave me her number and we started texting, I think both of us were like, oh, this is interesting. Like, you're kind of into younger guys and I've never been with an older woman. And this is like, oh, kind of, we're both know what we're getting into. And we had one date and then, like, slept together. And then we didn't really do, like, we only slept together once.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, and the other one was this woman through Tinder.
Ooh. Tinder's such a hot thing now. I didn't get to experience Tinder. I feel like it's huge in LA. Because everyone's really hot and everyone wants to fuck each other, I feel like. I don't know why I think that's an LA thing, but I feel like it is. I don't know. Like, dating in LA has got to be so much different. Like, you were saying that earlier. You were alluding to it a little bit. But I feel like because everyone's just so focused on the hot factor that I feel like, and there's so many hot people in LA, like a different kind of hot though.
Yeah, New York is like a gritty hot. LA is like an unmistakably hot.
Yeah.
There is like a big mix of diversity though in LA. Like it's just such a big city. And the big thing with dating that sucks out in LA, and it's much different from New York, is that you don't just like run into people as much. There's not as many occasions where you meet people or run into them.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I'm going to stop by and have a happy hour drink after work if you're in New York, or I'm like going through a park and like maybe we'll spark up some random conversation with somebody on the subway. Like those things happen and you can meet new people just kind of through randomness.
Yeah,
through and in LA, it's very much like I wake up in my bubble of my apartment, I go to my bubble of my car, I go to like my bubble of my work. And, like, there's the comedy world, which is still, like, a pretty big social world. But besides that, there's, like, not a lot of new outlets to find people. And I think what Tinder hit on was that sweet spot of, like, hey, here's a bunch of random people that you have the opportunity to interact with.
Mm.
And it was, like, the perfect fit for, like, the LA vibe of wanting to meet new people.
It's kind it's kind of like the more private, I guess, version of wearing a name tag saying like, hey, I'm single, I'm down to fuck or hang out or flirt or whatever the fuck.
Is that
like
a name tag that people wear around?
I don't know. But I always used to think it would be nice if everyone just kind of had like a physical sign that they were single instead of having to go up and investigating. And
or like, oh God, I have strained my neck so many times trying to look at see if men are wearing wedding rings. Ring. And yeah. They always are because...
Everyone's getting married.
People I'm attracted to are always married. Well, I realized today that everyone, the two men I've truly adored, both found the loves of their lives between the years of 1996 and 1999. So I should just hang up my hat.
Because they found love so early on when you were 8. Then
yeah, when
clearly
the thing was, no, I was like 12 and listening to the Spice Girls. What was I supposed to do? I have no pull, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If someone,
12-year-old, that's fucking.
Yeah, if you're 12 and the person that you adore is 21 and imprisoned, you know. This is a long story, guys.
You had to be there.
In short, I ran into...
Who are these people?
Well, one I don't want to say because I know him. But the other one is... this is so weird. I ran into... Do you know Damien Echols from the West Memphis 3 case?
No.
Okay, so
when you get off this call,
you're going to want to Google West Memphis 3. And it's the head guy who looks very goth and... was recently let out of prison, but he didn't do it. So
he didn't do it. And Corinne wants to.
It's like this was a huge case. A lot of celebrities were his supporters of him, and he was basically wrongly imprisoned and on death row for a good portion of his life. Him and two other gentlemen for the murders of these children that they still unsolved, but he didn't fucking do it. And like Eddie Vedder and Margaret Cho and a lot of celebrities have been. But anyway, I ran into them on the subway. Sunday, and I mean I was always smitten with him, but no, I can't stop thinking about it now.
You like the criminals?
Yeah.
He's not a criminal. That's the thing. He's a good guy in a bad situation.
But he's got that badass. I was in jail for 25 years, but he didn't do anything.
Oh, and he has tattoos.
Like,
well, that's the thing. It was perfect. So interesting with David because David is very attractive, but not who I would go for at all. And I think I looked at it in the way of like, this is someone I can corrupt. Or just you were so nice and like clean and pure and, you know, I wear sweaters at Christmas kind of a person. And I don't know that. And I think sometimes people are attracted to me because they're like, this girl's going to fuck up my life. And I kind of want it but only for like six months. Yeah. And then they're like, okay, this is too much. Can I find a normal person?
Was there, David, a moment where, because you and Corinne kind of on and off saw each other for a few months, and I know she was telling me how, I think it was your second date, where Corinne talked to you about her ex-boyfriend for like almost an hour.
I'm so sorry.
Do you remember that, or were you not even fazed by that, where you're like, oh, she's just telling me about her ex-boyfriend?
I remember that we had that conversation. I don't remember how long it went, but I think I remember being interested in that, like, because, you know, I had only had an experience of like one serious long-term relationship myself, so I wanted to hear as much about like, oh, how is it, what is it like for other people, and I don't remember the specifics of it, but I remember being intrigued by it. It wasn't anything like that you would think that like put me off or like, oh, this is weird. It was like, oh shit, wow, that's
you're
heavy.
You're just
a different sort of heavy than I've experienced.
Oh my God, because I thought you were just like an amazing actor, and in retrospect, in my old age, I thought I was like. I can't believe I fucking did that to somebody. But basically, like, I was heartbroken and I was like, I needed to tell somebody about it. And I remember apologizing while I remember going, this has to be the most boring thing you've ever heard. And you were like, no, it's fine. Cause we were at like some BYOB Indian restaurant on Second Avenue near like the Karma Hookah Lounge.
Oh, Karma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. Totally. Yeah, we were at Panda 2 or something like that, right?
Yeah, and you were being so nice. And I was like, well, if he's not going to voice the opinion that he's, you know, his the fact that he's really bored, then he's
going
to
hear
this story. So
you're such a nice
fella.
Yeah,
I think I just saw it as, I mean, I'm usually pretty intrigued by that sort of stuff. As long as people are being, like, honest and actually sharing, like, a story, like, that's interesting, you know? I don't think it, like, put me off too much, but...
Okay.
I probably, you know, maybe.
What can a girl? What does a girl do? Like, what have you experienced on dates that a girl has done that you're like, yeah, no?
I get like the thing that, well, if it's like if it's a relationship that I'm like investing in at all, and you know, trying to actually make like a real relationship work, I get very put off very quickly by people that too much want to like do whatever I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, like let's just do whatever you want to do. And like,
right. I don't really have an opinion
about the thing. Yeah. And like their happiness is like based off of my life and happiness versus their own. And you can like share this thing.
Wow. You're that hot, huh? No, I'm just kidding. I think that's a common thing that you hear from men though. Like the, do anything you want to do. Cause like girls don't, we're very picky.
I feel like if a girl says whatever you want to do, she's being a pushover for sure. But I feel like when guys say whatever you want to do, they just don't want to fucking fight.
They don't want to deal with it.
And so, they just don't give a shit as long as you're happy. Cause if the girl isn't happy, then they have to go through hell of like, this dinner's going to suck or this wedding's going to suck. Like the wedding we're going to go to on a date.
Oh yeah. And sometimes I say whatever you want to do, just cause I know I'm the less
picky,
complainy person in the situation. And above anything, I will eat anything, I will do anything. I just don't want to hear you complain about what we're doing. That's like the main thing.
Right. I feel like guys are like that, because it's like, if you're gonna fucking bitch if we go to place A, then let's just go to place B. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'll eat something shitty if it just means that I don't have to hear you fucking complain or send things back or get in a fight with the waiter. I'll hang myself in the restaurant.
And then you'll feel real bad.
And then date's gone haywire.
And then the date will hang himself, and then the owner will hang himself, and all the waitresses will hang himself. I'm pretty sure you got a cult restaurant hanging.
Domino effect suicide.
Oh, God. All right, just created a whole different vibe. So the date was going well. Was there a moment where, do you ever remember a moment of like, oh, this could go somewhere, or oh, this is casual? Like, was there ever that kind of like, let's see how it
I felt it was pretty casual. I think that like bringing up an ex, even though it's like, you know, I was fine with it and I was interested in it, but being that like delving into this big thing that had just happened was like, for me, a sign of, oh, she's just getting out of this big thing. And this is like a side thing that we're both into for like kind of, you know, for sex and for fun. That isn't really like, neither one of us is really ready for, like wants to delve emotionally into.
That sounds like my first date with my boyfriend of 3 years. He just told me about his ex-girlfriend for 2 hours.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, really? But you're single? Okay, let's do this.
You're the kind of person who could deal with that, though. But I completely agree with David's assessment of that. I was emotionally devastated and not ready for a relationship for a long time.
There was also a time, David, where I guess it was like the last time you guys had slept together, where you had it was late at night and you locked your keys out of your out of your apartment and you texted Corinne.
Yeah.
But Corinne was kind of like, fucking seriously, dude? Like, I guess, I don't know if it was at the tail end of like the fizzle of the casual.
Well, the reason I was most annoyed is because I had gone to a party with my roommate that night and I had looked banging. A lot of profile pictures for Facebook were taken that night. I really was knocking out of the park because I was really skinny because I was so depressed too. I looked fantastic. I had literally just got taken off my clothes and washed my face and I get this text.
Oh, you washed all the hot off.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I was enraged.
Oh, man. Yeah. I remember thinking like, I don't know where else to go. Like, I'm locked out of my apartment. I think that
you didn't have friends.
No, well, I have like a roommate. I'm pretty sure. Did you come over to my place? Where was I living at that point?
I've never been to your apartment. Because you were in
really?
A different borough. I think you lived in
Brooklyn. Yeah, because that's what the thing was. I was like, I think that I was living in Brooklyn, like pretty far out, like last stop on the four, sort of like. Far out into Crown Heights.
Yeah, and I lived in Midtown East. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like there, but I had like totally lost my keys, and my roommate was like also drunk and lost in Manhattan, and like there was just the prospect
everyone
of
was lost.
Going, like not having a place to live, but also not being able to get a hold of anyone. I was like, what? Hey, Corinne, what are you doing? I don't remember. I tried to play it off like it was something cool and casual. Like, hey, what are you up to right now? Or was I straight up like, hey, I'm in dire straits. I need access.
No, you did do like a what's up. And I think it was at a time where like we would communicate like every now and then. But like sometimes like, you know, I would text you and then you would take like 3 days to get back, which like fucking infuriates me. So and then you had kind of gotten back, you know, and also like I'm not an idiot. You know, it was super late at night. I was like, this is either you need something or this is like just a straight up booty call, which doesn't bother me. But in this situation, I was just like kind of like.
like over it. And I was like, ah, whatever, I'm over this. But I am, even though I'm kind of mean, I'm not completely heartless. And I was like, well, what if he really is locked out? I have to let him come over, you know?
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear that you were. I'm glad you were.
Yeah, I was. It was like really. And then did we hook up that night?
No, because I announced, I was like,
she didn't have makeup on.
I was kind of annoyed, and I was like, I have my period, we're not having sex. And I'm not even against, I'm not against period sex at all, but like I just didn't know you and I didn't honestly feel like having sex.
Do you have sex with menstruating women?
Huh?
Do you have sex with a girl when she's on her period?
No, I don't think I ever have. Like, it's a very, you know, the end of it sort of, but not straight.
Why not?
On.
Do you have something against it, or does it freak you out?
That like a, is that allowed? Is that like?
Oh yeah!
Oh, God. Oh God! Sex on the period
are
is the best sex. Oh yeah! That's
yeah, you're
my favorite.
We
time
talk
sex.
About this a lot, actually, on this podcast. And let me give you a tip. No,
I'm gonna tell you something you're gonna care with
the
you
first
for the
like 2 to 3 days. You're gonna want to steer clear, just because the girl probably doesn't feel well.
Maybe
physically.
Get her food.
Yeah, and but then after that, it's amazing because it's the girl's gonna have the best orgasm that she's ever had.
Yeah.
Girls are so horny during their period.
Oh my God!
And it's really
not—it's
really not that messy. Usually this is very graphic. Usually the blood flow stops, put a towel down was not. That's a real thing. Just, it's not a saying that someone grabbed out of their ass. Like, it's a real saying.
Or their pussy.
And so, yeah, and I highly recommend it. I mean, obviously, it's something that you're probably going to want to do with, like, a girlfriend or someone you feel,
yeah,
like, a little more comfortable. It's not a first date, second date kind of a move.
Especially if you haven't done that
right
before.
But it's not something you should be scared of, and it's
so do you
great.
Steer clear of girls on their when they're on their period of, like, asking them or even, like, insinuating?
My only experience with it has been like the girl will bring it up as like a, hey, by the way, I'm on my period, so we shouldn't have sex, or I can't have sex because I'm on my period. Or it's like, oh, I'm at the very tail end of my period, so
she might be waiting for you. She might be giving you room, and I know this is coy, so it's her fault, but she might be giving you room to say, oh, I don't care.
Yeah, because girls, I feel like this is the whole thing with like girls
are
meant
feel
to
feel the
like,
guy out.
Girls,
you
we're
shouldn't,
led to
but.
Believe that like a period is like a gross thing, or like that you're, you know, nothing, no smells or anything should be coming out of your vagina, like the nothing, you know.
Set my heart.
So
cock.
Girls are really insecure about that in general, and then we feel weird because we think we're grossing you out. But when
so
in,
they pretend.
In
we
reality,
pretend.
You're so horny, and all you want to do is fuck everything, and it's like this horrible catch-22 because it's like the time when you're not supposed to be fucking, but it's the best time to fuck.
Right,
and then everything and
you gotta
falls
feel
apart,
the,
and then
you gotta feel the guy out.
A tub of Haagen-Dazs.
Is that the time when women are most fertile? Is that the like the very end of their period?
No,
well?
That's in the middle. The middle of the cycle is the ovulation.
Yeah, ovulation is during your period. Actually, it's the
least
chance
fertile.
Of
yeah,
getting. I mean,
the womb is exiting.
I mean, we're a condom.
The uterus.
Still.
Lining is exiting.
The baby found.
Yeah,
the baby
was about to do the
house.
Yeah. So interesting. Do you are you confident in your sexual abilities, David? Are you good in bed? Do you think you're good in bed? I always like to hear what people think of themselves in bed.
I feel like I'm pretty good. Like it varies so much, but I feel like comfortable. I feel a lot more comfortable with my sexuality now than I think when Corinne and I were dating. I've had like more experience and just more comfort with myself and like what I like.
Yeah.
What do you like? But it's always, I think I listened to only one of your podcasts in the past, but I think with me, as with, I think a lot of people, men and women, it's like either you're fucking, like it's a sexual release, or it's like somebody that you have a strong emotional connection with, and it's like a loving sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I go back and forth between those two things, but more because I haven't had like a long-term relationship in a while, it's like just kind of fucking and having sex.
Yeah.
But,
which there's fun sides to both, I think.
Wait, say that again?
There's fun, there's good sides to both fucking and like lovemaking. Like they're both really great. I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're different. They are different. So the fucking thing, it's kind of nice to just like fuck. It's weird because I have a boyfriend of 3 years, but we fuck. I mean, it's love making because we're in love with each other.
Her
we're like
boyfriend
obsessed
Steven
with each other.
Did defend that though. He's like, I make love.
He did defend that. And he does. But he's so good in bed and he's got a big dick and I feel, you know.
Right.
I can go on and on and I'm sure he'd love me too.
We all the listeners know Steven has a big dick.
Well hung. I'm sorry, Steven. I love you. I love you so much. Anyway, cool. So you learned from
Corinne. I don't think I have like anything specific that I'm like really into besides like, you know, the normal a couple of different positions, but I'm not like, I haven't really delved into any like really crazy kinky stuff. But okay. I'm kind of intrigued by it, but I haven't had the, you know, the opportunity, I guess, to like, you know, we use a bunch of toys or like really weird role playing.
Yeah, it's
like
almost
that.
Like you need a girl, maybe you need somebody else to take the lead on that. And you go, sure, yeah, well, I don't know. Like that's how I kind of discovered the kinky side to sex is I had someone kind of just take my hand and just say, well, let's do this. And I was game to do it. And then that's kind of how you figure out you like it.
Yeah. Well, that's like sex always for me is like, I kind of, okay. So I, you know, I am a sexual person. And then I came to a certain point and that was the furthest that I was going to go by myself. And then you date another person. And that person leads you a couple steps beyond that. And then they kind of take you as far as you can go. And then you meet someone else and you keep doing it. I mean, and then things get out of hand sometimes, but, and you have to, and then sometimes
and then
you have to go back.
Band-aids.
Well, sometimes things get too crazy and I'm like, I just want to have like regular, just like missionary style sex. I just want a man to get on top of me and put his penis, like,
nice.
And sometimes I feel boring, especially doing this podcast. Like people are going to expect me to like come and do some fucking presentation.
Flips and tricks.
Penn and Teller style in the bedroom. And sometimes I just like want to have normal sex.
Oh, missionary sex is one of my favorite yes. positions, honestly.
It's popular for a reason.
Yeah. What is your favorite position, David?
My favorite position?
Yeah.
I think on top, but with like kind of twisted, like not
ooh.
From behind, but not like missionary, like
yeah.
Like one leg over, one leg under sort
yeah.
of thing.
Just
oh, men really like that one. They pull that one out a lot.
Yeah.
Does that feel super good for you for on your penis?
Do you have a curved piece? Like, do you have a tilt or a curve or a wiggle?
I think that you, yeah, there's some, I don't know what about that one, but there, you feel pretty like intimate with the person because you're like, you can still look at each other. And there's something about like having the legs like kind of wrapped around you in a different way. That's not quite as vanilla as missionary position and not quite as like impersonal as doggy style.
Yeah.
Right.
That ass.
Doggy style is so impersonal. It feels so demeaning, but it's so good.
I don't think it's demeaning at all.
Yeah,
love doggy style.
I think that one
style.
Is like definitely a release. Like this is what fucking is, right? This
right.
is like the definition.
Right.
Just
that's how animals fuck.
The
a
tech
lot of
in
times.
The booth is shaking his head. Yes, he agrees with
but
you,
I
David.
I don't think doggy style is demeaning. I guess certain things that I guess are could be considered demeaning in real life. I like to take to the bedroom because it turns me on. Like I like that like humiliation factor.
Oh,
I don't think doggy style. I never looked at doggy
I mean,
style as demeaning.
I feel it's demeaning, but it doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
but I mean, like your face is getting smashed into a pillow. Sometimes my head's getting knocked into
oh.
the headboard.
Oh,
I
well,
mean
I
that's...
protect. I protect my neck.
Yeah, I mean it's not. This is not. I mean, you know,
do you like slamming girls' heads in the headboards?
Do you like doggy style? I can't imagine David slamming someone's head into a headboard, and I don't.
I mean, out of lust.
I want to protect
of violence.
My vision of him as to someone aww. Who's not. I feel like you're one of the
really
more
sweet.
Upstanding people that I've slept with, and I'm very proud.
Corinne, you're making Corinne look great. By
you're
the
making
way.
Me look so
you're,
good.
You're just polite.
You're well spoken. This is amazing.
Yeah,
this is great.
You're a bring home to mama.
I don't think I did any headboard slamming. I'm pretty sure.
All right.
Well, we were having sex in like a twin bed from IKEA. Anyway,
ain't twin bed sex the finest?
With like Hello Kitty sheets because I was still insane. I mean,
and
I'm
still
always
have
insane.
Them.
No, I, you know, at a certain point, I was like, Corinne, you know, you need to take the Hello Kitty sheets off because even if you love Hello Kitty in your heart, it's disturbing when
yeah.
a man comes into you. When a man comes into your room.
When a man comes in your room.
Decked out in Hello Kitty. I do want to say one thing. Well, we talked about, because Christina said I like fatties. I like fat, like not
chubbier guys.
Yeah, I like chunksters with beards. Like that's very hot right now to like that. I want to say that I liked that before it was cool to like that.
Okay.
And I'm kind of annoyed that it's popular right now. But that being said, no, I remember you, I had like, because you look like a physically fit person. But you took off your shirt and I fucking had no idea how in shape you were. And you were like, oh, yeah, I just started going to the gym again. And I was like, what, every
just
day for
started?
5 hours? Because that's what it looked like. And I actually, one of my jokes that I currently do in my stand-up set is based on you.
And really? No way. That's like a huge, huge compliment. All of this is just making my day, by the way.
Aww. God, you're so funny.
But
nice.
Wait, what was, what's your, can I hear the routine?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you
do the joke for us.
You can watch the YouTube video, it'll be better.
I got a YouTube channel and shit.
No, but basically, I talk about how I like having sex with fat guys. And then, you know, I talk about, you know, I was like, you know, but I have a good concept of what I look like. You know, I'm not supermodel pretty, but I'm stewardess pretty. Christina's reciting along with me. So like I fucked ripped guys before, that being you. And then I say for me, fucking a ripped guy, however, is like wearing a pair of stilettos. It's a very sexy idea, but I'm going to wake up sore in the morning. Because I remember you one night I woke up and you like held, it was very nice. I felt very protected.
You held me so tight.
Aww. And you were so muscular that like I had a backache in the morning.
Holy shit. You
were so in shape, and I was like not that I like my boyfriend before that was in good shape, but not like not hard muscles.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And then I said, yeah, and then I go on to say, but fucking a fat guy is like wearing a pair of Uggs. Because sure, all your friends think you're disgusting, but you've never felt more comfortable or more yourself, right? So there's a shout out to you many nights on stage in New York City, David.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
You're famous. Do you have any closing remarks you want to say to Corinne before we part ways?
Closing remarks?
Yeah, we have to wrap
about
it
what?
Up.
About anything, about your life.
Oh, man. I can't think of any. I mean, it was great. And it was, I think my relationship with Corinne was like just what I wanted and needed at that point in my life, too. It was like, I was that, as Corinne said, like that white bread, like super vanilla thing that was like really interested in delving into something, you know, like having a sexual relationship. And that was great. I think of it fondly.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, this is, you know, every time I do this podcast, I'm like, give myself a pat on the back for my great selection of people. Most times, every now and then, there's a clunker.
but not a lemon.
No, and I feel like I always like the person more because I was actually really nervous about today. And I'm usually not nervous for the podcast because I tend to have sex with people I know really well. I'm very socially weird and stuff. But I was really nervous because I was like, I haven't talked to him since 2009. I didn't really know him that well. I was intoxicated for a lot of their time together. But no, I remember it fondly too. Like it was fun and it was fun and flirty and sexy and carefree. And it also was like, you know, gave me some balls. I was like, good. Sometimes when you message someone on Facebook and say they're sexy, like you get to have sex
maybe
with them.
Maybe something will come out of that.
Yeah.
And something did come out of that and into her.
Yeah, and
it was great.
I think girls in general, just like if you think someone's hot or whatever, tell them. And then maybe you could interview them on a podcast several years later.
Yeah, actually, that's a big thing with, I really don't, like even have the patience for people that just don't go out and try to seek what they want or like at least be open and honest about it. Like the few times in my life that I've had relationships or interactions with women that they're like coy or playing some weird mind game or whatever, like that's no guy wants that ever. Yeah. I think that everyone is kind of like, even if it doesn't work out, like that you went and were honest and like, you know, approached some guy or said something honestly.
Yeah. That's such a respectable quality in a human. You know, it's just an admirable quality. It's an admirable thing to be. And you can't not think of that person fondly if they were so honest with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so
much,
David.
This is like
a Mr. Rogers episode.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it.
This is great. I feel good. I don't feel
put
bad
our shoes back on.
About anything.
I feel great. Do
this
you?
Is wonderful.
You feel good, David?
I feel great.
I'm going to go out and conquer the world now.
This is such a positive episode. And we needed it because we had some heavy ones.
Yeah.
We had some heavy ones. All right. Well, thank you. So I'll message you or text you whatever later because, you know, we can talk personally or whatever. But thank you so much for doing it. I really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right, guys. That's it for Guys We Fucked this week.
Bye. thank you so much for listening. This is Guys We Fucked. We are on iTunes, so you can listen to us on SoundCloud or iTunes. Just look up Guys We Fucked. Email us at sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com or tweet us at SRYAboutLastNYT.
That's it, guys. Thank you. I feel so good now.
I feel good,
bye.
Too.
Have
I'm
a good
go
week.
Jog.